Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. On a day when we're absorbing the shock of the Las Vegas shooting, I see NPR saying now at least 58 people are dead after that gunman attacked the concert crowd. In our first half hour, let's focus on the aftermath of a disaster of a natural kind. Here in the Midwest, we don't know the tremendous destructive power of hurricanes firsthand, but we do know tornadoes. Here are the words of a meteorologist with the National Center for Atmospheric Research, summing up the power of Hurricane Maria in a way that perhaps we in the Midwest can better grasp. It was as if a 50 to 60 mile wide tornado raged across Puerto Rico, like a buzzsaw, in the words of that meteorologist. Well, nearly 2 weeks after Hurricane Maria crippled the U.S. territory, residents of Puerto Rico are still scrambling for the staples of living. We heard in the top of the hour news, food, water, fuel, medicine, currency. If we remember, first it was Hurricane Irma that clipped Puerto Rico. That was that huge Category 5 storm whose eye passed just north of the island early September. That storm left a million people without power in Puerto Rico. So by the time Maria hit nearly 2 weeks ago, tens of thousands were still without electricity. And now we're here in the island is still without power. That means there are many, many people who haven't had power on that island for 3 weeks. Imagine that. We want to talk with some Iowans helping out in Puerto Rico, also in Texas and Florida, in the aftermath of the hurricanes that hit those U.S. states. Just to mention that we've been reaching out through the Iowa National Guard, Colonel Hapgood there, our partner, trying to find contacts with about 24 of the Iowa National Guardmen at work on Puerto Rico. They're hard at work, and we're unable to talk with them this half hour because I'm sure they're very, very busy, but we want to reach out this half hour and ask you if you have family or friends in Puerto Rico you've been in contact with. We'd like to hear from you this hour with your account, any details that you think our listeners would be interested in. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or you can email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Let's start by talking with Edgar Ortiz. He's from Puerto Rico. He's in Des Moines, lives in Des Moines, has been raising money for friends and family there. He's in our Des Moines studio. Hi, Edgar.
Hi, Ben. Thank you very much for having me today.
Thank you for stepping into our studio, and you heard the top of the hour news. Recap, give us an idea, because I'm sure you're so focused on what's been happening on the island, the devastation there. What is it like? What's the relief going on, the recovery, as far as you have been understanding it?
I have the opportunity to talk to my brother yesterday for kind of the first time. I talked to him after the hurricane the next day for like 30 seconds. And yesterday I had the opportunity to talk a little bit longer with him. My brother is the mayor of my hometown. My hometown is Naranjito. It's in the middle of the island. It's a mountain town, 60% farmers and 40% blue collars. My brother is 45 years old, and yesterday he pretty much was almost crying like a baby, because the devastation is unprecedented. It's nothing that none of us has seen before. He said that part of the towns, more than 90% of the people lost everything. No houses. He has right now around 1,500 people in shelters and using the schools as a shelter. no communication at all, no internet, no electricity, no water. Has a lot of part of the town right now, they is pretty much no communication because the river took the bridge and the streets. Hundreds of families with no communication. The communication is cut off. So my brother is actually also a member of the National Guard. So working close with his unit, with his National Guard unit, they trying to continue taking supplies to those families that are completely with no communication. They can't get out of their houses.
What is the name of the town your brother is mayor of on Puerto Rico?
It's Naranjito.
Naranjito. And you said it's nearly 30,000 people in this town, and the town's pretty much wiped out. What are all those people doing? How are they existing?
As of right now, it's just with the help of the town, with the help of my the city hall, trying to and coordinate also with the operation center in San Juan in the capital. And that is the problem. That is the reason I'm trying to, from here, from Iowa, to partner with some agencies and creating this GoFundMe account to try to be more concentrated to helping the town, because the help is getting to Puerto Rico, but it's getting really slow, and that is the problem. So the towns that are in the middle of the island, they got a really direct hit from the hurricane. They're having some trouble in getting gas, in getting water, in getting food. No, the same like people that live in the metro area or live in San Juan, there's a little bit more accessible. We need to remember the towns in the middle of Puerto Rico, they're mountain towns. He was telling me that he has problem right now to trying to fill with gas the equipment that is going to help the people that are still in those areas. They had no communication and no street, and that's the problem right now. They're trying. He sadly informed me yesterday they have a family that still they die because the mud of one of the mountains covered the whole house. And it's a family of three, and they're still there.
Mm-hmm. I understand, just looking at surveying the latest media reports, I mean, I think officially it's still only 16 that have mm-hmm. died in Puerto Rico, but it sounds like, based on the devastation and the fact that the relief isn't just getting through to these people, that we can expect many more dead. Is that your impression too, Edgar?
I can't say, they fear the people that are diabetics, people that use ventilators, a newborn. That's the fear. The fear is that they can't get to those mm-hmm. locations. That the people really need insulin. They're diabetics or they have some type of heart condition. That's the fear for how faster we can get to those areas.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been talking with your brother, the mayor of this town in the middle of the island of Puerto Rico, yesterday. And, of course, mm-hmm. Our U.S. administration has been talking with the officials in Puerto Rico, namely yesterday on the weekend. President Trump lambasted the mayor of San Juan for poor leadership, in his words. I wonder if you had talked with your brother, if you had any sense about that from, you know, the media reports that we're getting of, I guess, frankly, glacial pace, interviews with residents, with people like you who have firsthand connections, local relief workers, small town mayors, all reporting what you've just said, that this is really horrible and the relief is not going very quickly. I wonder if there's any comment from your brother on that.
What he was commenting yesterday is that it's a logistical nightmare. So that's the reason we need a little more resources from the military to trying to help with that logistical. Because The help is getting to Puerto Rico and the administration, President Trump administration that he's going to visit tomorrow. The help is getting there, but it's kind of being concentrated in the metro area, so it's not getting as faster to the small towns. So, and that's the problem right now, to how we can get a little bit more faster in getting the help. That's the reason I'm trying to raise these funds and trying to help. And right now, coordinated with some centers here to collect some clothes and baby stuff, so I can kind of send it straight to the town instead of sending to an operation center that is no functioning as faster as we want.
Mm-hmm. Your GoFundMe initiative here, campaign that you've started, starts off on the website, the GoFundMe website. Hello, Des Moines and Iowa friends. I am heartbroken by the devastation that Hurricane Maria has brought to my beloved Puerto Rico, especially my hometown of Naranjito. And then you go on to ask for certain things there. So specifically, you say 100% of the proceeds will go directly to relief efforts to your hometown there, Naranjito. And specifically, tell us more about what is needed, you think, there, according to what you're getting in reports from your brother, the mayor there?
As of right now, one of the critical items is water. Potable water, so it's really difficult. I heard from him that the people are going to the river to get water, and that, you know, that can lead to other problems. People drinking that type of water, a lot of baby clothes. Like I say, it's a lot of people. They lost everything, all their houses, so they pretty much have like one shirt and one pants and nothing else. So right now, I'm coordinating with the A.D. Davis Community Center in West Des Moines. We're using their pantry and we're using their clothing closet that they have. So we're separating some clothes and some food. The problem is that we don't know yet when the postal service is going to be working for those areas. I want to say thank you to the representative David Young that is helping me to with the postal service to figure it out how we're going to do the logistics to start sending this stuff to my hometown. That's pretty much the. We're talking about water and we're talking about clothes and. I'm also talking to Mill from the Heartland because they have some type of like a packaged food. It's not in cans, so that doesn't weigh too much. And we're trying to send stuff that doesn't weigh too much just so because with these funds that we raise in our GoFundMe account, we want to also pay for the postal service to send it to Naranjito.
Mm-hmm. Stay with us. Edgar Ortiz is in our Des Moines studio. He's from Puerto Rico. He's raising money for friends and family in Puerto Rico, struck by this awful hurricane, two hurricanes actually, one significantly worse, Maria. He's now in our Des Moines studio. Do you have plans, Edgar, to go down there to help with cleanup when you're able to?
Yes. So right now... I called the operation center. I called FEMA to find out how I can volunteer. I take some time from work. I work for the state of Iowa for Iowa Workforce Development. And so I can take some time and go to Puerto Rico. But as of right now, they're just asking only for like first responders and firefighters and police to go to Puerto Rico. So probably it will be maybe mid October that I'm going to try to go to my hometown, because as my mom, my dad, my sister, they still all living there, and the only person that I have communication is with my brother. I don't know nothing about my mom or my sister yet. I know they safe.
They're safe.
Yeah, I know they're good. Safe because my brother told me they just lost material stuff, but they safe, thank God.
Edgar, stay with us. Crystal Davis is joining us as well by phone. Crystal is the co-founder and CEO of Cadence Closet. It's a nonprofit. Crystal, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Your nonprofit, in a few brief words, is all about what?
We provide clothing and necessities for families and children in need.
Mm-hmm. So I know you've been active in Texas and Florida, but we're on the topic of Puerto Rico. Do you know anything about Puerto Rico? You have connections there?
We do. My husband was actually a baseball player here in Iowa, and many of the guys from his team, they live in Puerto Rico or live in Miami, and their families are still in Puerto Rico. And so we were getting some real-time, up-to-date messages from all of them as the hurricane was hitting, and have since talked with them about everything going on the ground there.
So what are you hearing? I mean, is it the same impression we're getting from the media or from the White House? Or, I mean, we've been hearing from Edgar here, too. What is the impression you're getting through the contacts you have?
Well, the impression that we have gotten is complete devastation. In fact, one of my husband's friends, he was missing for 2 days because there was no phone service, there was no service with anything. So he and a gal and another uncle from his family, they were all three missing, and they have since ended up showing up and been able to connect, and we've gotten word that they're all safe and okay. But it's complete devastation, and I think devastation combined with chaos, which is also what we saw happening after Harvey down in Texas, but it's that devastation and the chaos of, okay, now what? Now how do we step in and help?
All right. Your organization has been active in Texas and in Florida. Talk a little bit about, we have about 5 minutes left, your experience in Texas in the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. You were in Houston?
We did. Actually, I have a friend who she lived in Texas for a while, and she stays in close contact with some friends there. Her father also lives there. And she was getting real-time updates, getting messages from a friend of hers that was sitting in a shelter with their 4 small children. And her friend said, they're rationing food to the kids. We evacuated. We have nothing. They're rationing food. We need help. And so my friend Katie contacted me and said, Crystal, you're the only person I know that could actually do something here. What could we do? And so right away we brought Katie on as our relief coordinator, our disaster relief coordinator, and we organized an emergency trip to Texas. We mobilized our units. We took down fully stocked enclosed trailers with emergency supplies, and we just got them down there as fast as we could. This was over Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. And how much of an impact were you able to have, Crystal, you and your organization, Cadence Closet?
Well, in our opinion, a substantial impact, because a lot of the places that we were going, there was no FEMA, there was no Red Cross, there was no other organizations or churches stepping in to help these people. And so we were able to find some of those communities that were the forgotten communities, where they were a little bit under-resourced, some minority communities that really needed help. But I think Emily with your show, she mentioned the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the grease. And that's what we were seeing in Houston.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking to us now from Iowa. You're in Holland, Iowa, I see on my screen.
I am. I'm actually sitting at our Cadence Closet location in Holland right now.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about your activity in Florida. Irma hitting the Bahamas, eastern U.S., especially Florida, a couple weeks ago.
Yes. So kind of the same situation. We had already done our emergency trip down to Texas for Harvey. We were organizing our second trip. On our second trip down to Texas, we took a crew of 21 people to work. We went down and helped muck out homes and took more supplies, a semi and more enclosed trailers. Well, during this time, we had received many, many donations of water. So we had an additional almost 20,000 pounds of water that we were not taking with us to Texas. So very quickly after Irma hit, I had a friend in Naples that was telling me about the complete devastation of Collier County. And she just said, we need water. That's our biggest need right now. And, you know, here I am sitting in Iowa saying, I have 20,000 pounds of excess water. Right. How do I get these here? So we got it. We got a truck. We got a crew, and we sent them to Naples, Florida, at the same time that our other crew went to Texas. So we were Cadence Closet literally had the unique opportunity to be in two places at once.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, I understand this is fairly new to your nonprofit relief for such disasters.
It is. It is. In fact, we've always focused on our Cadence Closet locations where people all across the state of Iowa, we're now also in Missouri and Kansas, but you can come to a Cadence Closet location and receive clothing, toiletries, necessities, absolutely anything you need for your children or for your family.
Mm-hmm.
But along those lines of providing necessities and resources for children and families in need, who is in need right now? I think the natural disasters kind of fall in alignment with our organization and with our mission and our vision and our goals. And we had our traveling trailer, our enclosed trailer. And so the initial idea was, let's just load up this trailer and we'll go down and provide whatever we can. Well, very quickly, the entire state of Iowa jumped on board with us. And before we knew it, we were taking down an awful lot more than just one trailer full of supplies.
And Edgar Ortiz, you're hoping as well that Iowans will jump on board to help Puerto Rico and specifically your hometown in the middle of that island.
Yes, and I want to say that really from the bottom of my heart, thank you to everybody that's listening and to all the people of Iowa. I want to give a big thank you to Danny Moon. He's my co-worker. Since day one, he's been there for me, supporting me in this GoFundMe account and supporting me with through all this. And I want to say a big thank you from the bottom of my heart to Danny and all the people of Iowa that is helping and stepping up to help 3.5 million of American citizens.
Mm-hmm. And really, we don't have much time, but Edgar, this is did this kind of bring to light that some Americans don't know that are American citizens who inhabit Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah, I know. I spent 16 years in the military as a flight medic, and it's sometimes it's sad because people ask you
yeah.
I don't know.
These are American citizens.
Sacrificed
in wars and so forth and
yeah.
So much. But okay, before we go, Edgar and Crystal, Edgar, you first. Tell us how people can find out more about your campaign.
Yeah, and in my Facebook page, Edgardo Ortiz. If no, they can call me at 515-490-3113, 515-490-3113. That's my cell phone number, and everything that they can help. So, like I say, I'm trying to kind of help directly my hometown in Puerto Rico.
So many people in need on that island, the U.S. territory. Crystal Davis, co-founder and CEO of Cadence Closet. How can people find out more about Cadence Closet?
All of our information is located on our website at www.cadenseclosetcadenseclose.com.
Crystal Davis, thank you for joining us. Edgar Ortiz, thank you for coming into the studio to give us two perspectives on the devastation in various parts caused by our hurricane season. Crystal, Edgar, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a moment, we'll meet the winner of this year's Grinnell College Innovator for Social Justice Prize, Gina Clayton. She founded an SE Justice Group, which supports women with incarcerated loved ones. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River.